This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, we're hanging out today, baby.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I was listening to Joe this morning, and it kind of did give me a little bit of a inspiration to the topic for today. And one, I've wanted to pull out of the hat a little bit because it's a perfect off-season topic.
We're in this moment of relative nothings.
Yeah. Well, the All-Star break's next week. It's coming. It's hurtling towards us like a meteor.
Well, hey, Ten-game win streak for the Jays was snapped yesterday. Yep. Thanks, White Sox of all teams.
This is an ugly game. 2-1, not good. It's not fun. Realistically, 2-1 game. Eh.
I don't want to talk about it, but I also don't want to talk about it.
They're still good. They're still good.
They're still so good, and I think they're going to keep going.
You're not going to win them all, but 10-game win streak helps.
10-game win streak closed at the hands of the White Sox. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
They'll be back though. Are they playing today? They're playing today, right?
Yeah, they're playing today.
Is it early afternoon baseball, though? Because yesterday was very weird, where everyone was playing in the afternoon, including the Bisons, which was very weird. Yeah, well, the Mets have a doubleheader today.
They're playing the opposite of early today.
They're not playing at all.
Well, no. They are playing at 10:05 first pitch against the A's.
That's tomorrow. They have off today.
Oh, they have off today. Yeah. So it is the opposite.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Here I am not looking at the date.
Ooh.
Which now makes sense. You just played yesterday. You're traveling out west.
Yeah. As a Halos fan, welcome to the. You'll find out tomorrow morning how they did.
Probably.
Yeah. But so Joe was talking today about your favorite memories at the stadium. I have a few, but not a ton. I was never somebody that went to a lot of games. I went to a few, but I haven't been to a playoff game.
Ever since working here, yeah. I have been to one game. And that game was the one on, I think I'm going to say it this way. Yeah, it was on drugs. The game against the Vikings
yeah. Justin Jefferson's amazing catch.
The Bills being the goal knocked line back, disaster. Fumbling the ball instead of a safety. It's a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Davis catches a pass that is very clearly not a catch. They reward it.
Yep.
best gets them to overtime.
That was a fun game.
There were two goal line stands in that game from the Bills defense. And then the Bills red zone woes continued because the offensive coordinator at the time didn't know how to do spacing concepts.
That's hard. I get it. That's hard.
And Allen was ultra aggressive.
It was a fun game. It ends in a loss, but it's a fun game.
That is a fun game. It's certainly
a fun game.
It was worth every single entertainment dollar, mm-hmm. but I will never forget where I was sitting and the reactions. There were a decent amount of Vikings fans around me.
Yeah.
They were like, okay, well, good game. And I'm like, we're not done yet.
Yeah, it was just not over with.
But then I very quickly ate those words.
Yeah. Mine was the 2011 season. It's my first regular season game I ever went to. Because I'd been to a few kids' days. I went with my Pee Wee football team and stuff like that. But my first regular season game I'd went to with my dad and my brother was the Philadelphia Eagles game. When they end up beating the Mike Vick-led Eagles. I think it's the year after the Dream Team is 2011. I think 2010 was the Dream Team. But you kind of have all their hype. They end up falling flat. But the Bills start that season 4-1, and I've talked a lot about it. Like, I have a lot of fondness for the 2011 season,
yep.
even with it ending as horribly as it does. But those first 6 weeks before the bye were some of my favorite memories for a long time as a Bills fan. The week one win against the Chiefs, this is before, obviously, the rivalry builds up. I just loved, you know, going on the next morning to watch, I think, like NFL morning or something like that, or NFL Total Access, just to watch the highlights again. And to hear them talk about, like, all, like, the seventh-round picks, the D3 college guys. Who are these random people putting up 41 points? Obviously, the Patriots win, which I know a bunch of people talked about this morning
yep.
for their favorite Bills, you know, stadium moment. That game was just, oh, my God, like, what is happening? And then for me, it was going to that Eagles game where the Eagles had all this hype. They had all this talent. I think Vic throws, like, 3 or 4 picks. The Bills win kind of comfortably, even though the score's a little bit closer. And I do remember leaving, like for me, that was the game where I left the stadium going like, yeah, I'm a Bills fan. Because I had an AFC team and I had an NFC team. My NFC team was the Eagles. I had watched the movie Invincible with Mark Wahlberg. And that was like the first sports movie I can remember watching where it was real teams for like, you know, the sport they're covering. But I also loved the Bills fans. It was always easy to watch the games. And I liked a lot of the players and I kept up with the teams and all that stuff. And then so the Eagles game was that perfect, like, hey, we can go, you know, kill two birds with one stone sort of deal. I left the game as a Bills fan. I haven't looked back. It was so much fun. I have so many fond memories of it.
And look where we are today.
Even a 50-year-old guy, like, kind of like giving me the business. Like, I'm 10 years old or so, mm-hmm. and it's just giving me the business being an Eagles fan. I'm like, I'm also rooting for the Bills. I just want a good game. I'm 10. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
And I left as a Bills fan. I haven't looked back, and it's one of my fonder, like, sports memories. But for today, we're thinking taking it a little broader. We don't want to steal Joe's topic, but also have some fun. It is the
also,
offseason.
Also, give it a little bit of juice again to revisit yeah. it. You know, it's not something that, like, we don't need to ride the momentum on this sort of mm-hmm. thing because, well, you know, it's already been done today. We can revive that at any point right now as well.
Mm-hmm. But for this, we're thinking your favorite Bills season of all time. Because while, yes, there has not been any championships, there has certainly been a lot of fun. And there has been really memorable moments. And, you know, specifically, I think for a lot of, like, the younger generation, too, there has been this run here of years that have just been awesome following years of just torment.
And that's the thing is that we're going to get a massive gap if we get these answers.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a gap. One might say 17 years worth.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially.
Well, I mean, I did just talk about how 2011 is very fond for me. It's not my favorite Bill season, right. Don't worry. But there will probably be people out there who's like, I went to a ton of Bills games. They were, you know, it was fun. 2002 could probably be on there for some people.
Yeah.
It or just, 2004, excuse me.
With the bitter ending that was that year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, there's probably, I'm going to assume, healthily, that there's probably a double-digit year gap, nearly two-decade sort of gap in the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally fair and reasonable.
Because I think that, like, and this is probably true for most sports teams, we talk about the Sabres a lot, and for me, like, 06-07 is always brought up. Like, that one is always brought up. I think for the Bills, because there is two different distinct eras of winning, plus some years before the 90s, a little bit after them,
and that's the answers
now,
that I would love to be educated on.
Yeah, like, I think there is a lot of variance there, because it could very much be just where you were at in your life.
And for several generations worth of Bills fans,
mm-hmm.
recent years are only going to be the answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are either not alive or too young to recollect anything.
Mm-hmm. So 803-0550, the number to call. We'll have fun with it all day. Your favorite Bills season of all time, or at least in your lifetime. Derek, you have one that I can totally understand it, but also your blood pressure must have been a mess that year.
It wasn't. Mostly because...
Brave.
Here's the funniest thing. I started working here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're the bright-eyed kid.
You got all the energy in the world.
Like, oh my God, this is amazing. Not that I'm not... Not that I don't enjoy it. Let's be abundantly clear here. But, you know, you just walk into a new job and you're like, oh my God, this is the coolest. And the first things that are happening here are, well, Rex Ryan has been let go. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean McDermott has been introduced to the Bills. This is the 2017 season. That's right, the drought breaker. And it is my favorite for a lot of reasons. One of which is that it is a nightmare season that went right. If you go back, it is a fever dream that they made the playoffs at all.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrod Taylor, as the starting quarterback through the majority of the season, does not have the starting quarterback designation in the first game, though. No, that is because this year starts with a quarterback competition.
Yep, because Tyrod had just come over from Baltimore. He's that fun free agency they Taylor got, but we don't really know
Matt
who he is.
Matt Cassel,
mm-hmm.
who gets the day one nod as the opening day starter at quarterback. Taylor is credited with being in the starting lineup, though. He is lined up at receiver for a gadget play. So and they beat the Jets down.
Mm-hmm.
But that offseason, they trade Sammy Watkins. They trade Ronald Darby.
They're arguably starting over and expecting to be bad.
Everyone around is looking at them going, oh, they're tearing it down with the
mm-hmm.
new coach.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be hiring a new general manager probably within the next year, which is what they do. And, okay, let's get to work. It looks like they're going to start over. Cool. They get off to a 5-2 start. And you're like, oh my God, this team, like, Sean McDermott might have the goods. Okay.
But we had been here before, that whole thing.
It wasn't even we'd been here before. A team that you were supposed to beat down in the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
On a Thursday night, it's a color rush game. It's the sequel, so to say, of the colorblind bowl. The Bills had white helmets and red jerseys, while the Jets had white helmets and green jerseys.
Unbelievable.
Greatest game of all time that the year prior. But the follow-up, the Jets are in all white. They don't make the same mistake twice. Thank you. But they lose by 13 to the Jets, and then they get blown out by the Saints in a game where, ugh, it was such a dreadful offensive performance. So much so that Taylor gets benched for Nathan Peterman, heading out to L.A. to take on the Chargers. And I got paid to say probably the worst take of all time when I said on a Breakfast with the Bills on a Sunday morning, I think Nathan Peterman's going to be just fine today.
Well, to be fair, in the Saints game when he was put in, he went 7-for-10, 79 yards and a touchdown. He was very good in the preseason.
I was like, he's going to be okay.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
He was not, in fact, fine.
We get to before the end of the second quarter. Peterman throws pick number 5, and Joe DiBiase's out there in the newsroom with me, and he goes, I couldn't have predicted it goes this poorly. Because
let's see how much
him and I were arguing about this on air.
Let's see how much you remember that game. Did Peterman have more interceptions or completions in this game?
I think he had more completions, but it wasn't by much.
By one. He had 6 completions, 5 picks. Yeah.
I know that. But, like, the first pass bounces off of DeMarco's hands.
Yep.
It goes 6 the other way. By the time he's at pick number 5, he's sailing passes, and it's just nothing's working at that point. You're cooked. And I remember just thinking, oh my God, all right, so, well, the season's over at this point. We're done here.
They're 5-5. They've lost three in a row, two of them being you could argue even three of them being blowouts because the Jets was 34-21.
You know what is an actual positive thing to take about the Bills and Chiefs rivalry right now? They're entertaining games, no matter what. Like, yeah, they're losses in the playoffs, but they're worth watching. If you watch a Chiefs-Bills game from before the Allen era begins, those games are nightmare fuel.
Yeah, you're in a bad spot.
Like, I remember the days of Jeff Toole throwing a pick six, or you're winning 16-10, for example. Or, like, those games were just bad football between those teams. But it's a Chiefs, a win against the Chiefs on the road that gets them back into business.
Mm-hmm.
A loss to the Patriots.
I was waiting for you to bring that up. They put up 3 points against the Patriots.
Yeah, standard fare against the Patriots at this time. And then, speaking of fever dreams, the Colts game. The snow game against the Indianapolis Colts where, here's your good little fan PTSD. Peterman starting again.
That's right.
In the snow.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, so this is how it ends.
Yeah, it's Peterman in the snow. The elements come back to bite you.
This is how it ends. We're going to fall to 6-7. We're pretty much chasing at that point. And the weather's miserable. Kudos to the fans that actually braved it and went out there. And then you got yourselves two of the niftiest passes that you will see in an NFL season from Bills quarterbacks, neither of whom were the starter.
Yep.
Peterman throws a dot for Benjamin.
One of his
end zone.
Five completions that day.
Gets concussed.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to go for an extra play. Gets replaced by Joe Webb.
Who goes 2-for-6, by the way.
Who goes 2-for-6. But he drops in to the bucket. An incredible pass. Zach, do you know who the wide receiver was that made that catch?
Is it Thompson? Deontay Thompson?
It is Deontay Thompson.
I know Benjamin and Thompson were like the two guys that day because, you know, there was a total of 7 completions.
You're right. They were the only two receivers to reel in a catch.
Yeah, there it is.
The other two players were Charles Clay and Nick O'Leary.
Oh, Nick O'Leary. Bill's great, Nick O'Leary.
But
never wore gloves.
LeSean McCoy in the snow is still a legend because he did that in Philly.
32 attempts, 156 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Frank Gore was the other running back for the Colts. 36 rushing attempts, 130 yards.
But McCoy, though, that touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are on the brink. A tie can doom them as well in that scenario, considering what the ultimate ending is. Anything other than LeSean McCoy taking it to the house probably ends their year. But they win. And they're alive. In the faintest of hopes, but they're alive. They win 2 of 3 against Miami to end the year. There's a Patriots loss in there. You know, standard fare.
Standard fare
like
at the time,
yes. But that second Dolphins game, everyone remembers it. It's New Year's Eve, 2017. It happens. The Tyler Boyd play happens.
Mm-hmm.
4 of us in the newsroom run like the 4 directions of the wind, screaming and yelling.
We've all heard the clip with Bulldog. Absolutely.
We've all heard the clip with Bulldog. Our program director tells Nate, Ryan Gates, and myself, go nuts. It's New Year's Eve. Stay on as long as you want
to.
Have
fun.
Stay on as long as you want to. And I have to produce Howard and Jeremy the next day.
Oof.
So I'm like, I'm getting out of here early, taking a nap, coming back.
And then I'll come back, yep.
One of my core memories about this place is when Jeremy, I think letting us know to let him in.
Good.
Hurls a snowball at the window. We move the shades, see Jeremy Bolt inside. Those two give each other the broiest of hugs of just like, we did it. We finally bleeping did it. And we just took calls all day of people being excited.
Mm-hmm. I think what's funny too.
Then they score 3 points.
But on that, that's something I remember. Is like
what the hell was that season?
But at least like in my like circle of friends and everyone I was talking about with this game, no one really cared about the playoff game. It was just more like, we're back.
We're back. We finally did it.
We're back to the dance. Who cares that we're playing the Jaguars? We'll go down anyways. We don't care if we win. I know that's where I was sitting. I didn't care how it ended. It was just that we were back. It felt for the first time that the Bills were relevant.
I'm just more on the what a fever dream that was. Because you lost a game where you allowed 75 passing yards.
The Bills in that season, including the playoff game, scored 3 points 3 times.
Yeah.
A week 2 loss to Carolina. A week 13 loss to New England.
A 9-3 loss to Carolina in week 2, by the way.
And then that wild card game against the Jags. That's incredible. That's truly incredible. They scored 3 points.
I'm telling
three
you,
times that
this
season.
Is a fever dream season that is, you have to fondly remember it because of the fact that it's almost like you had no business having any of that go your way.
You kind of didn't. They had a plus 10 turnover differential, which is kind of a big part that people bring up because that was a huge part of them winning the Atlanta game early in the season.
But also hysterical because you had a 6-turnover game.
Yep. Was that the Atlanta game?
No.
Oh, no. They personally had a 6.
They gave up 6 turnovers, 5 of which were in the first half.
Yep.
Yeah, because then Tyrod comes back into the game in that one, fumbles, and it's brought back for 6 there, too.
Yep.
Oh, my God, that game.
So, that one game alone kind of hurt you, and this is probably true, too. Game. The Bills obviously make the playoffs, though, and this is sort of a famous thing. They had a negative point differential, minus 57 points.
And back-to-back blowouts will do that.
Yeah, that middle stretch there probably did it. They were not a playoff team by almost every metric except the fact that they did, in fact, make the playoffs. Like, their quarterback play was terrible. McCoy was kind of doing everything for them. I even look at some of their stats here, Derek. I mean, you talk about the points for. I mean, 3 games, they scored 3 points. They were 22nd in the league. And then points against, as much as they were getting turnovers, they were very much a bend-don't-break defense. 18th in the league.
Yeah. And
they were not a playoff team.
No,
except
they were
that they were.
They were not a playoff team by metrics. Like, expected win-loss, it's like 6-10.
100%. Yeah. That team, by every metric, was exactly what the Bills were looking for. By like, we're going to be bad now, but we're going to be really good in a few years. Except that they were actually okay.
The season was on drugs. Rick Dennison was a one-and-done coordinator for the offense. Bob Babich and Bobby Babich are on this staff.
Babich's been around for a long time.
Yes.
Bobby, I mean. Yeah. Bobby's been around for a long time. But that was always
the
thing.
But he follows in the footsteps of his dad. Who was the linebackers coach that year.
Yep.
And Babich sticks around on this team. So, but that's, I'm telling you, this season was so bizarre. And it even begins with, in that offseason, they fire the general manager after the draft.
Mm-hmm. Beans hired, I think, in May?
Yes.
So he runs basically none of the offseason except towards the start of training camp where a lot of trades happen.
Yes.
And then that's the team going in.
McDermott and his staff utilize the reports of Doug Whaley, the scouting staff, and runs the draft that year.
Ends up being one of their better drafts, too.
It is also the infamous trade down and the Chiefs get Mahomes, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? That's a conversation for never because I don't like talking about that.
It's one of their better drafts, though.
But again, this season was incredible in the roller coaster variation that it was. A team that had no business to make the playoffs that made it anyway.
Sabres, take the hint.
A lot of other teams are doing it. They find it fun. They find it entertaining.
If the Bills could do it with whatever crack team they assembled in 2017, and they had some bright young pieces that began showing up here. This is the offseason that they sign Hyde and Poyer.
Yep.
This is where they draft Trey White, Deion Dawkins.
Matt Milano's in this draft,
Is in this draft. Mm-hmm. They begin building.
Man, that is absolutely
the Bills' core for the first go-round.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the only connecting tissue in terms of on the field is a few of those players in the draft, because outside of that, this is like very close to being a one-off because in 2018, they're bad. They are not good. For Allen's rookie year, they're 6-10. They're 30th in points for, 18th in points against. It's 2019 where the actual, like, okay, this is something. 2017, for a little while there, is kind of just seen as this, like, weird, hey, they broke the drought. This is great. Now they're moving on, and they feel good about it. But 2018, I mean, you remember, you know, Allen's rookie season. He's hurt for a little while.
They trade Darius midseason as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So many things happened that year.
Mm-hmm.
It is. You want action? This was that. This is the team they should make the Hallmark movie about.
Is the 2017 team.
I'm not kidding.
But there were very few weeks where there wasn't something going on, something to talk about. There was not that feeling that I think we hit a lot now where it's just give me to January. That was not true in 2017 at all.
One of the things that you need, though, when you're not a good team, is you need elite special teams play. This was when Hauschka was Hausch money.
Yep.
29 of 33. All of his extra points are made. The man was almost automatic as can get.
Man, even McCoy's season wasn't that great. Just over 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns. He had a rushing attempts per
and
rushing
of course,
yards per attempt was 4.0. Man,
the tip of the
how
cap,
do they make the playoffs?
The tip of the cap is the final offensive touchdown that they score in the year.
Kyle Williams.
It's Kyle Williams.
What a
That's
weird
the
year.
Last, that is the last touchdown they score.
What a weird year. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get to yours coming up next. We got some tweets. We're looking for your calls as well. I'll also give mine. Don't worry. It's a lot more points. It's a lot more exciting. It's also a bit more recent. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Green for sure will be doubled at the bottom of the screen.
Ravens trying to end it here. Fourth down. Dalton steps up. Dalton throws. It's complete. Caught by Boyd. Tyler Boyd. Touchdown. Remarkable. The Cincinnati Bengals have stunned this crowd.
Good times. I'm telling you, fever dream season. Just the fact that it broke a 17-year drought makes it all the more fever dreamy. But more hilariously so, the biggest play of the Bills season was not in a game featuring the Buffalo Bills.
I feel like that's like appropriate, though, of how that season
that
had to
end. That's the season that was.
Like, the dream would be, no, the Kyle Williams touchdown ended it. And it's like, nah, it only played a part. It's all you're going to get. That's the farthest we can go. Like, you guys
don't. The Stones, if it was, we're going to call Kyle Williams' dive to take the lead and put ourselves into the playoffs.
Love it.
The fortitude
Love it.
That you'd have to be like, we're putting our season not in the hands of LeSean McCoy or any of our offensive playmakers. We are putting our entire season on Kyle Williams. Which, by the way, a little bit of a misnomer. Miami scores late because
mm-hmm.
that Williams touchdown makes it a two-score game.
Yep.
Miami scores late, tries an onside kick, doesn't work. The game is kind of a comfortable one-score game.
Yeah, I remember watching that on a plane and all of us kind of just being like, okay, get to the Cincinnati-Baltimore game. What's going on there? And Cincinnati, I think, held a lead early in that game.
They dominated
that
early.
That felt comfortable. No. And then Baltimore took the lead.
They were kicking their butts.
Yeah, if I remember
and
that
And then the
right,
Ravens storm back, take the lead. I'm sitting out in the newsroom ready to send push notifications. Remember that, people?
Oh, man.
And Dalton throws a pick. It's negated on a penalty. And I go sitting. Oh, he almost throws a pick.
Yep.
He almost throws a pick. I go sit back down because I'm mad. I'm like, fine. I got to type up the message that the Bills are going to miss the playoffs again. And then that play happened.
I was able to catch that at home, the ending of the Baltimore-Cincinnati game. I watched, though, most of those two on a plane coming home from vacation. That was a weird experience. Trying to deal with all that.
Oh, it was me, Nate Geary, Joe DiBiase, and our program director, Alan Davis. And again, we scattered like the directions of the wind.
Yeah.
That was still
unreal.
Again, crazy season.
803-0550, the number two call. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Your favorite season in Bills history. Frankie tweets in, 2019 was the most fun. Back-to-back wins in MetLife. Duke's win in Nashville to go to 4-1. The Cowboys' Thanksgiving come-out party to go to 9-3. Playoff clinching Sunday Night Football in Pittsburgh. Electric playoff touchdown pass to Josh on opening drive. Big lead at half. McDermott defensive breakdown. 2019, I mean, I mentioned it when we were talking the drought ender in 2017. 2019 was the first year where it felt like, oh, they're legit. Fun enough, they also start 5-2. They have an early bye in week 6. But yeah, you mentioned the early games in MetLife because they go Jets, Giants, both wins. The Jets game has to be a late John Brown touchdown. They kind of dominate the Giants.
It actually takes legitimately until midseason before one of the New York teams matches the Bills for wins in MetLife for the year.
Yeah, that was the weird stat of that year too, is that the Bills owned MetLife. I think that also started the, you know, we actually own New York kind of deal. I think that kind of started that run. That was such a weird season. Derek, the answer will be no, and that's okay. Do you remember the 2019 preseason?
No.
Yeah, good. The answer should be no. I remember it because I was with my buddy.
Oh, wait.
We went out for wings.
You're wrong.
Do you remember it?
I do remember the 2019 preseason.
Wow. Good for you. That's disturbing.
Zach, I had to work.
Oh, well, yeah, you were working at that time. This was just totally as a fan. One of those games, they do play the Carolina Panthers. Me and my buddy went out for wings. We were just hanging out watching it. And I just remember how much they were passing the ball. And we thought, okay, we might have something this year. And if you do remember that start to that year against the Jets and even the Giants too, that's kind of Dable's coming out party a little bit too. They pass the ball so much to start those games. And it kind of doesn't lead to anything. They put up 17 against the Jets. They put up 28 against the Giants. But this is still Allen's maturing. He's getting better. He's not totally there yet. They do get they lose to a Patriots team, which is one of Josh's worst games. I think it's 3 picks. He looks terrible. They lose to an Eagles team led by Carson Wentz. That game's never particularly close. But then they go on a bit of a win streak. They lose to Cleveland 19-16, and then they win 3 in a row, including, I think, what many for a long time would say was maybe their favorite game for the Bills in like 25 years, the Thanksgiving game at Dallas. That is absolutely the Bills' coming out party for this era, this generation. Yeah, they were 8-3 going to that game. Didn't matter. It was on, obviously, prime time because it was on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys, and you dominated them. You have the Josh Allen moment where he has to pick up the fumble and go over for a first down. You've also, my favorite play of that game is not actually the fumble picked up for a first down. It's that Allen stops moving in the pocket at one point because he's getting absolutely zero pressure and then just dots one to Beasley. It's such a funny play to look back and watch. They dominate that game 26-15. You've got
my favorite
Devin Singletary, I think, throws a touchdown pass in that one as well.
My favorite memory of that game is Star Lotulelei picking off Dak Prescott.
Yep, that happened as well. Yep.
Like, that's where, like, in that moment you're like, oh, everything's going wrong for Dallas.
Yeah, and everything's going right for the Bills. Then, funny enough, they lose 3 of their last 4.
But the one that they don't lose
is the Pittsburgh clincher for the playoffs.
Is also the last time we did Sports Thunder.
Oh, really? That's the last one?
That's the last one we did because it was the clinching of the playoffs. It was myself and Lou DiBiase doing a Sports Thunder. And I was driving back from Lake Placid that day from a wedding. Drive back from Lake Placid. Come back to Buffalo in time to make it for work.
Mm-hmm.
And then do not leave until 8 a.m.
Yeah.
I thought I was done at 6. No, I stuck around to help make a duck hunt open for Howard and Jeremy.
But so, and that's famous too. Duck Hodges starts that game for Pittsburgh. The thing I will remember about that game, I can't remember the receiver that actually catches it. I think it's probably John Brown. It is Renegade starts playing. That's Pittsburgh's famous. They play that song in the fourth quarter. That's the big moment. And you got Barkley like swinging the jacket, the whole thing.
He is rounding that jacket.
But I just remember they play Renegade. Steelers fans think, here we go, we're going to shut him down. And Allen just dots one like 30 yards down the field. And you're like, oh, it's done. We win. Okay, thank you. Thanks for coming. Tyler Croft catches a touchdown pass in that game. Just such a weird one. Frankie also brought up the Tennessee Titans game. That's early in the season, week 5. Duke Williams.
Oh, that's right, Duke Williams.
I was waiting to bring up Duke because when you get into the playoff game, which I was out at a bar watching this game, and this is at a point where I went out. It was me, my dad, and my uncle. We always went out for these games. I just remember we were all kind of Duke Williams guys, but it was the 10 attempts towards him, 10 targets, that were like, okay, enough. I've actually now had enough. He has 10 targets in the playoff game. They ultimately lose to the Houston Texans in overtime. There's a stressful kick at the end of that game to actually send it to overtime.
Stressful kick?
Ugh.
You forget the play that I'll never forget in that game. There's cleanly a minute left, mm-hmm. and Josh Allen laterals the football.
I so miss Sugar High Josh. Like, but like a part of me was like, I was alive then,
he
man.
He ditches the
I
ball.
I was alive.
When they have time, they have time, everything's fine. He ditches the ball, and Bulldog walks out into the newsroom and goes, what the F was that?
I loved him.
Oh, my God. I will never forget that one. And then, of course, there's him throwing a ball into double coverage to Pat DeMarco.
Well, how could you not, Pat DeMarco?
It's
a clear-cut playmaker right there. How could you not? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
First 2 years of Josh Allen were a heart attack on a quarterback.
And so speaking of that.
My God.
My favorite season. And there is a little bit to this of it being my favorite season, but it is 2020. It is the true, okay, Allen is here, he's a demon, and the Bills are here, and they're going to be here to stay. There was a lot of extenuating circumstances, I think, to why for me, but...
Better yet, I just laughed about early Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
This ascension?
Yeah.
This rapidly?
Yep.
Nobody really saw coming.
Well, and I think a big part of that, too, is there was no training camp.
There was no training
camp. You make the Stephon Diggs trade, but we really don't know how that's going to go because we haven't seen anything in camp. There's no preseason games. There's nothing. You had camp, obviously, but there's no preseason games. You're kind of getting the reports that you have. It's not normal. So you're going into the season. It's very weird. I don't know if you remember, we had this whole thing for a few years of Josh Allen hasn't thrown a 300-yard game yet. Daniel Jones had.
Not only that,
all these guys had.
It has been several years since any Bills quarterback at that point.
So that's a whole thing.
Had not done it.
And, of course, you have COVID. There's no fans in the stands, and it's this very weird season. It's still – I mean, it's the only season of the last 50 years where the NFL, the salary cap went down because of it. I mean, it's a weird season, and yet the Bills go 13-3, and they're an offensive juggernaut. And this is – it's still my favorite season of this entire run and really my whole life. Points four, they put up 501 points, good for second in the league. And, yeah, you mentioned that early run there. I was late to the party when I thought Allen was going to be the guy.
I
liked him a lot in 2019, but I bring up that 300-yard stat because that was a big thing for me where I'm just like, when is he going to win throwing the ball? When are we going to have those games where it's just like no one can stop him, he's just in a different zone, and he's lighting it up? Well, I got my answer. The first four games of 2020.
By the way.
He's an animal that time. The Diggs trade is working in spades. He goes from a guy that's kind of unheralded, kind of underrated, to he's clearly going to be an all-pro this year. He's going to be one of the best receivers in football. It's an unbelievable year.
Zach, you mentioned the lack of the 300-yard game mm-hmm. until that first game of 2020. They had not had one in 3 years as a team.
Was it Tyrod against Seattle?
It was Tyrod in 2016 against Miami.
Oh, yeah.
The last time that a Bills quarterback throws for 300 yards.
Yeah.
And so Allen doing that, you're like, oh, finally. And then he does it again with better efficiency against Miami.
Yeah, it's the Miami game that, like, for me was just – funny enough, I don't know if you remember that game too. The power goes out.
The power goes out and you can't watch through the second quarter.
You missed Stephon Diggs' first touchdown as a Bill.
And the Bills tweeted a hilarious gif. Because this is also when the NFL was like, no, don't play videos on social media of mm-hmm. plays that just happened.
Yep.
And they like teams were having so much fun with that, with like terrible graphics.
Oh, man. That whole season for me was just – it was fun because, again, we were in a new world. But also, not just in a new world that way, but for me it was a new world with sports where – you know, up to that point, like every Bills game had this like kind of tension to like you didn't know if they were going to win, and I didn't know that feeling like that I know 90s fans had where you expected to win. We're at that point now. We're well at that point now that if they lose a game, there's genuine questions going on. But for a long time, it was, hey, that's the battle of the season, baby. Up and downs. You hope you got 10 wins by the end of the year. Where for this, I mean, I remember being very worried about. Do you remember the Let Russ the Cook game. Movement?
I just Seattle? Saw. I before that, I just saw the game that I remember upsetting me gutturally.
The Tennessee game?
Tuesday Night Football.
Yeah, Tuesday Night Football.
Where they pushed that game for the Titans so much.
42-16. It is a bad game.
It's an awful game. The Bills are like, are we going to be playing against the Chiefs or are we going to be playing against the Titans? I don't know anymore.
I think it kind of hurt them both ways because then they end up playing on Monday night the next week against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Which just, ultimately has now started the run here of them playing them constantly every year.
I could
year.
Not. Like that game, that was like... But yes, the Seattle game.
That was the Let Russ Cook movement. Seattle were freaky as hell to start the year where Wilson's throwing the ball constantly. He's putting up MVP numbers. This is also when the movement began of like, hey, Russell Wilson's been this great quarterback. We all acknowledge that. Why doesn't he have an MVP vote? That was a big topic of discussion,
and
MVP voting was different back then.
That season was also Let Russ Cook because – they needed him to.
Yep.
They had the worst pass defense through the first eight games.
And the year prior, they really only get in the playoffs because Wilson performed magic. And then the Bills that day, Wilson is good, but he has two picks. Allen, though, 31 for 38, 415, and three touchdowns.
Puts down a bad Seahawks pass defense.
Just annihilates them. You also, and there does have to be that ebb and flow thing. You have the Hopkins Hail Murray. That happens that week, and that was, you know, I had stuff going on in my personal life at the time during that game, so that game will literally never leave my mind ever. But then they don't lose a game again until the AFC Championship.
And lose a game until the AFC Championship, but also they give up a Hail Mary in the very next game. Like
they
have a bye week.
That's right, they do.
They have the bye week, and then the Chargers, it's uncorked,
mm-hmm.
caught. Oh, dear God, this is happening again. And then Anthony Lynn divides by zero and calls a run play. The Bills stuff it.
So good.
And goodbye.
So good. In this as well, you also have the Stephon Diggs three touchdown game against the Patriots.
There's the 49ers
which
game
was,
where
I
beat
know,
down
very,
a great defense.
That I still think might have Allen's best throw over
Fred Warner,
of to all Gabe people. Davis. It's just it's on a line. They play the game in Arizona because it has to get moved. Just unbelievable. I brought up the Stephon Diggs three touchdown game against the Patriots. You know that I think was very cathartic for almost every Bills fan.
Oh yeah.
And then still my favorite playoff game that ended in a win is the Baltimore Ravens one. It's an ugly game. It's a grind fest. And you have the Taron Johnson
before
pick
that,
six. It's unbelievable.
Before that, that Colts game.
Oh, that game I have no fond memories of. That is so stressful
I have
for
one.
No reason. Oh.
I have one fond memory. You want to know why? You said the stress thing?
Oh, you.
We were in a Discord chat for that game because you couldn't have people around,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're just on the Discord chat, and I'm like, we're going to be fine. Everything's fine. When did I finally get nervous, Zach? They were lining up for a Hail Mary.
Yeah. It happened to him twice that year.
It happened to him twice that year, and I'm like, oh, no. Rivers doesn't have the arm strength, thankfully. And they beat a Colts team that probably a lot of people would have looked at as, I could see you winning in the first round.
That's exactly what they were. It's exactly what they were. It was the first game in Highmark Stadium. They kind of had a few fans, but there wasn't that feeling. And that
but also, the Colts, they have this tough team. They're able to, like, rough and tumble throughout all of it. Phillip Rivers is still playing well enough.
Mm-hmm. And then it's close.
It's close the whole time. Both teams put up offensive outputs that are fantastic in this game. Indianapolis had 163 rushing yards that game.
That's so unsurprising. It hurts. I loved everything about this season. And it has started a run.
And then that Ravens game,
they've
like
been
you
great.
Said.
It started a run where they've been great every year. But this was the one season where, like, the expectations weren't where they are at now. And I kind of just enjoyed every game. I didn't even bring up the Denver Broncos, my favorite quote from Allen ever, how many times we have to score. It's just – there was so much fun during that season. It's such a bad year for so many people. The Bills really
– that Broncos game
they
where
were
they clinched
a true
the
distraction.
East.
Yeah. And the Bills that year were just a true distraction, I think, for a lot of us in, like, the best way possible.
Yes.
And they have not stopped since. I will hold 2020 fondly, probably forever, even if they don't win a Super Bowl in this run, which, you know, God forbid. But 2020 was just unbelievable. 803-0550, the number to call. Your favorite Bills seasons ever. Doesn't have to be in this run, just of your lifetime. Love to hear them. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one here. Reading a clock is hard. We went a little late there. So, again, 803-0550, the number to call. Talking favorite Bill seasons of our lives here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Also, when we come back after a quick timeout, Bills wide receiver Elijah Moore released a video, and it got a lot of people, unsurprisingly, including myself, very excited for the first-year receiver and what he could do for the Bills. We'll talk about that as well. Again, coming up after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I think it's a little bit on both those guys have to stay healthy at the same time, both Kincaid and Knox. And I think if we're being honest, Kincaid probably has to take a decent step forward. There's an expectation level that he's got to become. Knox is proven to be a good player. So yeah, I would love Buffalo to do it. You know, Kincaid's got to take a step and he's got to stay healthy enough to get capable of it. The sixth offensive lineman thing was kind of 12 in a way. It kind of was. It was an obvious thing, like a heavy 12, I guess, because it was such a blocking emphasis rather than a pass-catching emphasis. But I totally agree that it would diversify in a way that would be less predictable.
Dan Orlovsky of ESPN also just penned his new contract. with ESPN.
Rare ESPNW.
I know. I like Dan's.
I like Dan Orlovsky. He's really good.
And all of his, like, he kind of deep dives and he does that right there.
He's
talking about
actually
the Bills
good yeah. at, you know, bringing analysis, not hot takiness.
On Kincaid, though, because he brings up a good point there. We've talked a lot of the receivers. And I do wonder, I mean, we'll talk about Elijah Moore here in just a second because I am very excited for what he could offer. I do wonder, though, if maybe a guy like a Keon Coleman, because of his play style, could be left out because he's not the quick, twitchy, I get open fast. And that's kind of the big negative for him is that his separation is not that great.
Right.
Kincaid, not to the same vein, but to a certain extent, I also wonder if he could get left out. Allen's not really been the biggest tight end lover, I guess, in terms of where his targets go. Knox was a big threat of his back in, I think, 21 or 22 when he had a big touchdown breakout season. But that was more due to breaking out of those plays and running to his right and just uncorking one to Knox. You know, those are the plays I remember of Knox really breaking out. Kincaid has not been that at all. And if anything, Allen and Kincaid just have not been on the same page. I can't say Kincaid's been a bad player. Most of the underlying metrics really like him. It's just him and Allen have not been on the same page really at all.
And honestly, that's kind of more on Allen.
I don't disagree.
Like,
he's open, dude. You got to hit him.
Hit him. At some point, production does matter.
The Colts game where he ends up getting hurt.
Yeah.
He's open down the field. Allen just well overthrows him, and it ends up hurting his knee.
And, of course, the last play that we've seen from Kincaid is a drop.
Not a great play.
It's a play he adjusted well to as well.
Mm-hmm.
On a tough throw from Allen, it is in the neighborhood. Kincaid makes a good adjustment on it. He just doesn't reel in the football. But, yes, at some point you do need to have production. Underlying metrics are great and all, except for the fact that sometimes they only tell part of the story. And it's not favorable, though, because why are you not getting numbers if you are so good at, you know, finding yourself with
it? I mean, that was my big issue with him last year. I mean, I've been pretty hard on Kincaid for, like, the last 12 months.
Yep.
And that's part of it is, like, the underlying numbers are cool. They don't tell the whole story. Production hides a lot of warts for a lot of players. If you produce well, no one's going to have any issues. People will get annoyed if it's just all underlying numbers and you're kind of just waiting for, like, the big pop game. Kincaid broke records for the Bills his rookie year in terms of the tight end position. But I think most of us were kind of like, yeah, but he's not Sam Laporta. And then you see some of these other guys, not totally comparing them, but Brock Bowers comes in year one and is up there in receptions for all players.
Right.
Not just tight ends.
Not just tight ends.
And Kincaid, like, there hasn't been that game. And it is also super frustrating because the season they lose to Stephon Diggs – there was that expectation that Kincaid will maybe be their number one. They spent a first-round pick on him. Here he comes. Like, where is
the – it's what it was pitched as.
Where is the game? And I'm not asking for him to have what he – you know, at Utah when he played USC where he had, like, 16 catches, 200 yards, and a touchdown. But where's the 8-catch, 100 yards, touchdown? Like, okay, boom. That's a game where Kincaid dominated. He was awesome the whole time. He was one of Allen's best targets. The efficiency was great. Moving on. That hasn't really happened, but you do wonder, are we even having this conversation at all if Allen hit a few more of these throws?
Yeah, it's a tough conversation to have when it comes to Kincaid because you want to see that athletic profile work because it should work.
And also the problem is, too, we actually don't – we know he's athletic because you can watch him on the field, but we don't have the numbers. He hurt his back at Utah. He didn't participate in the pre-draft process. We don't have a, quote-unquote, 40-yard dash time where you're like, that's the guy.
But honestly, I'm okay with – I'm not needing it because now that number probably leaks more into this potential sort of thing. And it's a frustrating conversation to have there. But I don't want it to get more frustrating talking about him. So I'm glad that I don't have that number.
You're probably right, because then if we were still having the same – if everything went the same, you just participate in the pre-draft process, yeah, there probably is the, like, why aren't you using him more on tight end screens or something like that? Just get him the ball, all that stuff. It could end up being far more frustrating.
Also, being a smooth runner does not have to equate to being a fast one.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's probably right.
That is probably the other part of this.
803-0550, the number to call. Been talking favorite seasons today. Ashley tweeted in, 2024, She says, yes, probably a bit of a recency bias, but the quality of wins, plus Josh MVP, plus some crazy plays at home, the 61-yard field goal, 4th-and-2 versus Kansas City, lateral in the snow, the Terrell Bernard punch-out versus Baltimore, etc., takes it for me. So few low points and a lot of highs. I think that's absolutely true. Last year you could argue it got kind of boring at times, where you're just like, okay, give me to January.
No, because not boring. It was also, not only did you go 10-0 on totality at home, there was a new bit. Mr. Brightside in the fourth quarter.
Oh, that was fun. That was fun.
There was a new bit. And that gets the fans going. There is an MVP season. It was an incredible year. They lost all of four football games.
Mm-hmm.
Technically three.
Yeah, if you're going just regular season.
Well, I'm going on the last game against New England.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't really count.
But those two losses at the beginning of the year aside, that dip between Baltimore and Houston, even the Rams game is exciting.
The Rams game is awesome.
And it's a destination type game. You at least got your money's worth.
And to be fair, the following week against Detroit was a ride.
Yeah. They were dominant and yet also dramatic all at once last year. And it was kind of fun that way.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones here. Curtis is up first. Curtis, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing very well.
I was telling the screener, when you guys was like going over the highlights and everything, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Then you were saying one, and I said, how many times do we got to score? And you said that because that was my favorite. That was one of my favorites.
That's the best quote.
But I believe it was that year, and I love Dave's. Dave's was one of my favorite Bills coaches ever. He called this sick 2-point conversion. It was a Statue of Liberty. It was sick. And oh my God, I can't remember the play. I just remember it was like a Statue of Liberty type 2-point. And like Josh probably could have just punched it with his fist to the receiver. And oh my God, I can't remember who it was because they went for a lot of twos that year.
They were for a lot of twos. And Curtis, yeah, thanks for the call. You know what I remember a lot with Dable, especially in those peak years, 20 and 21? Really, it was the wide-open touchdown passes. The schemed-open. Yeah. Gabe Davis is just like, oh, no one's around him. And just Allen just floats one over. San Fran's the perfect example there. I think even his first touchdown. No, his first touchdown against Vegas was a little different. But
yeah,
he had a few where it was wide open. The Devin Singletary touchdown in 19, the trick play there. I remember a lot of the trick plays were a big thing for Dable.
Denver,
yeah. That's
Jay Kumerow is dialed up with a perfect route.
Yeah.
And Allen dots him.
Jay Kumerow.
Yeah, baby.
Man. Now it's funny. Curtis brings up that, you know, Dable's one of his favorite coaches. You look back at that era, though? And that was not true for a lot of people.
You know what's kind of funny about that with Dable is you mentioned how 2020 is your favorite season. 2020 is also, like, of course, Allen's ascension, everything like that. But it's also the consistency of the Bills' offense.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, do you want me to read you the offensive rankings since 2020?
Well, I know they start at 2 in 2020, but yes, let's go.
So, second, third, both under Dable.
Mm-hmm.
Second, with Dorsey in his first year. Sixth, and Dorsey gets fired.
It's funny to me that, like, because you even said second his first year, and I'm like, I feel like most people weren't convinced with Dorsey at all after year one.
No, but Josh Allen's still Josh mm-hmm, Allen. Mm-hmm. So they were second. Then they go to sixth.
Well, that's why. You're out of Dorsey, the top five. Get out.
Yeah, Dorsey gets canned. And then, Zach, where were they last year? In their favorite spot.
Second.
Over the last 5 years, second. It's nasty
and it's not,
work.
And what's funny, nasty it's, work. It's not the same team.
You're in the top five. One. You're not in the top five. Get out. Like, but also, it was after that Denver game, and holy brother, that needed to happen.
But it is funny. It's not even the same team that keeps taking the number one spot. They are different teams, but the Bills just find themselves like second or third all of these years. They have become so consistent. A lot of it is, of course, the Josh Allen ascension. It's the fact that fourth downs have now become freebie downs. Like, they're able to operate very differently from a lot of other teams in the NFL, where in reality, if it's fourth and one, it's four down territory, kind of no matter where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And then has also led them to maybe be comfortable running the ball more. I know Mike and Chris have talked a lot about this on the afternoon of, if you're a team that knows you're going to have four downs, why take so many risks on first and second down? We have four downs to get 10 yards with a 6'5 unicorn at quarterback. Like, we'll be fine.
Correct.
And that has absolutely helped them. I mean, you look at their fourth down and third down conversion numbers. That's why they're able to score so many points. It's hard to get them off the field.
And it's also because fourth down, in short, it is not just a possibility. It is something they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, McDermott does not fear fourth and one, fourth and two. Fourth and inches is basically an automatic at this point.
Yeah, 100%.
Except for one time.
Well, I mean,
last game that they played.
It's going to be frustrating. We'll say it's 100%, but it's not. I mean, the Eagles, the same thing. The Eagles have had their tush push stopped at times.
It's a 90%er.
Yeah.
You go with those numbers. And it's just that, you know, it ended up a coin flip in the last game that they played. You know, don't hurt me. But the thing about it is just, yeah, you have a unicorn quarterback. Fourth down and short means they're going for it in most situations,
mm-hmm.
except for, like, if they're very easily on their own side of the field. It's like a three and out sort of territory, and it's fourth and two. That's the only but they're on the 31-yard line. Like, they're not doing it.
Yep.
That's fine.
It's fine.
That's fine. I'm not going to be mad about that.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they're even near midfield, and they're still on their own side. They'll do it.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking favorite seasons today. Rob is with us. Rob, how are we doing today?
Hey, long time no talk, right, guys? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much. You know, I'm laying here listening to you guys, and I really had to think real hard, being at the fact that I am 60. I mean, you know, back in the 90s, it was very enjoyable with those teams, but for me, personally, it's sentimental values. 2021 was special to me because I got to see the Bills play the Jets at MetLife Stadium. I had four rows from the end zone, and the tunnel was right off to my left. And during that game, all the touchdowns were scored by the Bills on my end, except for one, and I think it was Kumara that caught the pass in the other end of the end zone. And in a matter of fact, Gabe Davis had caught a bomb right in front of me. It was like right at the 5-yard line. He kept both feet in bounds. It was a beautiful catch. But that was an awesome game to be at. And then, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that the New England game where we went perfect?
That is that wild card game. Yep.
That I'll never forget the first touchdown. The throw to Knox in the corner when Josh Allen rolled out to the right, and he found him right at the back. And I had a picture of that, and it was actually in my screensaver. And then, of course, we went to the playoffs and played Kansas City Chiefs. And the 13-second game was probably one of the most exciting games I had ever witnessed in my life. And the reason why it's sentimental values is I don't want to break anybody's heart. I'm good with it, but that was the last season that I've been able to watch the Buffalo mm-hmm. Bills because I am blind, which you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
And so people ask me, you know, it's like, and I tell them the last game that I was able to see was the 13-second game. So it's like, that was memorable. And I also know that without a doubt, and I'll tell anybody this, and you guys might agree with me, but if we had won that 13-second game, with the momentum, there was no way in hell that Cincinnati was going to come to Buffalo and beat us. That was the year we were supposed to play the Rams in the Super Bowl. There was absolutely no way that Cincinnati was going to beat us. And but I enjoyed the games by listening to them and then listening to you guys, you know, telling me all the stats and what's going on. You guys are my eyes. I love you guys. Let's go, Bills.
Thanks, Rob. Always a pleasure. And you know, Rob brought it up there, too. I think it doesn't always have to be like a championship-winning season. There is sentimental value to a lot of these seasons of what's going on in your life and stuff like that. The 13 seconds, I've gone back and forth, like with Rob said there, the momentum, how the offense was playing, like going into Buffalo against Cincinnati if they had won that game. I've gone back and forth because Cincinnati does ultimately beat Kansas City. And Buffalo turned out had problems with that particular Cincinnati team. Maybe it's just how I'm sitting with it today. Cincinnati also needed a truly monumental collapse by the Chiefs to win that game in overtime.
They
needed a lot to go right.
In order to go to the Super Bowl, they also needed to shut down a Titans team that sacked Burrow 9 times. You're telling me that the Bills defense couldn't at least get that job done? Like, yeah, they have their struggles against Kansas City in the playoffs, but that does not mean that their defense mm-hmm. would have struggled against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Could it have been a tighter, lower scoring game mm-hmm. than you're used to in that postseason?
Sure.
Maybe. But the sad thing is that we will never know.
Right.
I go with this on 13 seconds, though. It is not a game that I have to avoid talking about or avoid watching. That game is one of the most iconic playoff games in recent history, and it is also known as, it's a shame that a team has to lose that game. That's what that is. What you witnessed was greatness. It's just a shame that there has to be a loser.
Yeah, someone will walk away with that being
on the losing end, and it is a shame. If the Bills don't collapse, for example, at the end of the fourth quarter there, it is a shame that the Kansas City Chiefs do not win that game.
And that's early enough in their dynasty run that could be massive to where they go forward.
Yeah. And that's why I'm like, I will watch that game. I will rewatch that game because it is an offensive masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills were almost dead to rights. And then what happens? Josh Allen uncorks one to Davis, back in it.
Oh, I remember exactly how I felt at that, too, because it was me and my brother were arguing about, are the Bills. And I was like, no, they're not. Okay, we're back in. We're back in. Never mind. We're fine.
And then there's a possession where Andy Reid divides by zero
mm-hmm.
and breaks the chain of command and has not Travis Kelce, but I think it was Noah Gray at quarterback for, a speed option in the red zone.
I love that.
And they're forced to kick a field goal. And it allows the Bills to take the lead.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable game.
It was an unforced error type call mm-hmm. by Reed where you're like, what's this all about? Okay, you have Noah Gray running a speed option to the right.
Interesting.
Are we sure about that? Okay, they stopped it. All right.
It's an unbelievable game. It has its own Wikipedia page that tells you anything.
That's the thing.
It's one game and
it's a game
its
with
thing.
A moniker.
13 seconds, yep.
That's the thing. It's not just because the Bills collapsed in 13 seconds. It is because that game was electric, and it followed up a game that was electric. The Rams-Bucks game in the NFC divisional round, literally
yes.
right before it, sees the Buccaneers storm back.
As a neutral fan, that had to have been some of the best football you've watched, that day alone.
And then you're ever. Like, oh my God, is Tom Brady really this inevitable?
Mm-hmm.
And then Kupp catches a deep ball on a busted coverage. Rams kick the field goal,
yep.
win the game. And then it's like, hey, Buffalo, Kansas City, have fun topping that.
And then they do.
And then they go, hold my beer.
Yeah, and
also
then
hold
and then
your
they
beer.
Do. And that's also probably the game that also kind of coined, this is the new Manning Brady.
Yes.
Because it was arguably better already at that point because the Manning Brady thing was just, it was the two best teams, but Manning always played poorly. This rivalry started with, no, they're both playing great. The Chiefs just might be a little bit better. But they're both playing unbelievable football.
Even with that season, as great as it was in 2021, there is a kick in the shin in that year.
Oh, I have a lot of them. 2021 was a weird year.
2021 has a kick in the shin game.
Yep.
One of the two times that Urban Meyer collected an NFL
mm-hmm.
win,
mm-hmm.
the 6-9 Jacksonville loss.
Yeah, there's a few of these games in this season in particular. We all know
there's
how
the overtime
ended.
Loss to Brady.
Yeah, we know how it ended and it was awesome, but they also open up the year after 2020, running through teams, make it to the AFC Championship. So great. They lose to Pittsburgh at home with fans back in the stands.
And that was a special teams gaffe type day.
Yeah.
There's a punt blocked for return for a touchdown late. In that game,
they're blown out by the Colts later in the season. Jonathan Taylor goes off.
The Jonathan Taylor game where I'll never forget this one. I had played in the 11-day power play the night prior, did breakfast with the Bills at 7 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
went to bed, woke up, midway through the second quarter, saw that Jonathan Taylor was doing what he was doing, and went back to bed.
Yeah, just went right back to bed. Did you mention the Patriots win game?
That's God.
14-10, well, baby. Hang on.
That is also the congratulations on your one-year run.
Oh, yes. That is right.
The Art of War, Sun Tzu.
Yep. They even limp kind of into the playoffs. They win three in a row, or four in a row, actually. But, like, against Atlanta and New York, the offense doesn't look like it's humming. They don't look right. To me, the perfect game against the Patriots, and why it will always, you know, be maybe the best playoff game I've ever watched for the Bills, is because the 2 weeks prior, it didn't feel like they were going to go on a run. And then by the end of the New England Patriots game, I was like, okay, they know now how to play the system. They're here for the playoffs, and they're going to hold back some tricks. Their best play is going to be in the playoffs. Like, that's just who they're going
to
be.
Not to mention, I do believe that New England game in 21 is, in the regular season, in New England, that's the Isaiah McKenzie game.
Let me check. I believe you're right.
He has 11 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. That the man was nasty that afternoon.
So there's actually a few games in this year that ultimately lead the Bills to make some not great decisions based off one game. Gabe Davis, 8 catches, 201 yards, and 4 touchdowns is sort of the reason why he stayed around, I think, as long as he did.
Yes.
And then McKenzie, kind of off of this game, or at least kind of the thought is after this game, the feeling was he could be our full-time slot receiver.
But also, the reasoning behind that was also Gabe Davis is out.
Yeah.
I do believe that was a COVID protocol game.
Can't remember that, but yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Cole Beasley is also out.
That's why McKenzie takes up that role.
McKenzie has to take the role because it's Davis and Beasley both out for COVID protocols. And it's McKenzie that shines.
Mm-hmm.
And they fed him 11 catches. The man was on it because New England was like, okay, Stephon Diggs has tormented us. We need to not let that happen.
Still kind of did.
And also there's no literal act of God-type weather to help us this time around.
And it's still kind of a close game, by the way, even to the end. It's kind of close.
But, man, that was...
That's it. That is a weird season because of the high highs of 2020. Most of the regular season for 21 is kind of this crawl. It's uncomfortable. They're 6-4 after the Colts loss. They're 7-6
after the Tampa loss.
After the overtime Tampa loss. Although most will argue that's when they got fixed. The offense was performing.
The second half against Tampa, they look better. They look like the team that they're supposed to be again. It seems like they've got things righted. And more so, that's what happens. Like, even against Atlanta, they have 3 turnovers, but they still put up numbers. The Jets game, they do just fine, honestly.
Mm-hmm. It's just not very efficient.
It's just not efficient, but they do put up points.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the playoffs happen the way they happen, and it's just, it is wild.
You do wonder, though, with how they're playing in those first 2 weeks. I know why. I mentioned it. I go back and forth a lot with it. But the way they had played the wild card game and the divisional game, if they do close it out against the Chiefs, I can fully understand why people were thinking Cincinnati's not stopping us at home. I can fully understand that.
I understand both sides of it. It's just it's a shame we will never know. Just like in 2020,
mm-hmm.
It's a shame that Chad Henne has a 4th down conversion because you would have gotten the Lake Erie Bowl for an AFC championship.
That is 2020, that's right.
The Browns and Bills would have been the matchup if that conversion is not made.
I mean, I think about that too. That's 2 years after the 2018 draft. So what you would let's say that happens.
That's Mayfield Allen.
Let's say that happens. You have Lamar wins an MVP in 2019. Unbelievable. And then Allen ascends in 2020, going to the AFC Championship against Baker Mayfield, who would have resurrected the Browns, and here they are. It's the 90s and 80s all over again. I mean, how does that change? I know it's Chad Henne, and sure, you beat him, but how does that change how Cleveland feels about Baker if by year two they're in the AFC Championship game, including one of the playoff wins?
They probably don't get rid of him.
Even with the injury and all that, they probably go, guys, we can't.
There's no way.
He's our guy.
We almost made it to the Super Bowl, or by God, if, like, for example, if the Browns were to have beaten the Chiefs and then the Bills,
mm-hmm.
You're not letting that man go.
You're not letting him go. I always think of, I don't know if you've watched them, Dave Demeshek's NFL What If.
Yes.
It's a series he did on YouTube, I think, for the NFL Network as well. I just loved that stuff, and I still kind of do it in my head.
Branching almost. Timeline things are kind of fun.
And I do think about that. Like, what if Chad Henne doesn't get that and the Browns close it out? Even if the Browns lose that AFC Championship game against Buffalo, it'd still be like, guys, 2 years into his career, look what he's done for you.
Well, then you're also bearing the lead of, if they lose to Buffalo, this city's doing backflips.
And that's the thing, too, yeah. Well, but the Bills have gone on. We know how, you know.
But then they're also going up against that team.
Oh.
That guy.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
It would have been the Tampa Super Bowl.
It would have been the Tampa Super Bowl. And we're probably all throwing up, crying, punching things because, like, you're having to face Tom Brady in a Super Bowl.
Especially because I don't know if that 2020 team was necessarily quote-unquote ready.
No.
They get blown on the AFC Championship game to Kansas City. But it would have been really cool. But ultimately, Tampa wins that game based off of a lot of injuries to the Chiefs' O-line and Mahomes himself being hurt.
Right.
And even then, Mahomes still works magic. Allen, I would still argue 2020 is his best season.
But then you're also looking at
man.
You're looking for revenge for the overtime loss. Mm-hmm. So you know the Bills can hang.
You know they can hang with them.
But you're facing Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Is this the ultimate revenge plot line?
For everything, yeah.
Oh, my God. Everyone heading into that game is screaming, crying, throwing up.
That would have been a lot of fun. 803-0550, the number two call. Didn't get to Elijah Moore yet. We will get to him because there was a video he posted yesterday that I know has gotten a lot of people, including myself, very excited. But, of course, always going to be talking about your Bills' favorite seasons today. Love to hear your thoughts. Heard from a few of you. And we're going until 12 o'clock when Sabres Live will take over. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I just know what I can do. You know, at the end of the day, you got to believe in yourself. The world already is moving at a way to where people are scared to take risks, but it's not a risk. I know what I believe in. I lean on my faith. I lean on God. God is real to me. So at the end of the day, I lean on him. You know, I trust. I know what I can do. I work my ass off every single offseason. I work my ass off every single season. And I just know that I'm the type of player that's going to show it.
News Bills wide receiver Elijah Moore back at mandatory minicamp. I loved Derek. I loved how open he was about his process and even the early stages of his career. Only 25. He's going to turn 26 next March, so next free agency. Only signed a one-year deal with the Bills, but man, did you see the video he posted yesterday of him running routes in that drill?
Yes.
Come on.
I need you to calm down only a little.
Absolutely not.
Nonsense.
Thank you.
A little.
Absolutely not.
You're like at an 11. I need you at like a 7.
The best I can do is a 9. You can't stop this train. You can't stop it. I know who I am. I acknowledge it. I even mentioned on Twitter yesterday when I was talking to some of the listeners.
As someone who irresponsibly peddled hope this year about something.
Someone's got to be right at some point with the Buffalo Sports. Somebody's got to be right.
Or we just aren't.
Well, no, I'm not. Someone's got to be right. I was talking with some listeners yesterday about this, too. And look, at points I'm having fun with this, too. There's a very good chance Moore is just a guy for them. A good guy, but just a guy.
He could be a solid player, and that's still good.
Yeah.
That's why I say settle down.
Here, if he puts up literally the exact season he did last year for Cleveland, 61, 538, and a touchdown.
Solid year.
And he's that's the kind of guy you sign to a one-year contract, right?
Exactly.
There might be a game where you're like, there it is. And then, you know, maybe everything that Jets and Cleveland reporters were saying, he'll go away for like a month. Maybe that's right.
Even if he has an uptick in production,
mm-hmm.
Like it's 750, 800 yards.
Yeah.
That's a really good season. That's a solid player for you. Someone you even might want to think about retaining.
Yeah, absolutely. But on that, let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Talking to some listeners yesterday, I am now discovering the last few weeks, I am definitely not alone on the Elijah Moore hype train. Jam tweeted at me last night, I really think he's going to thrive here. He is what Josh likes to throw to. I think that's absolutely right. Twitchy, get open quick, kind of more inside workers. And that's how he said it. Shifty type, get open guys. He's always been good with Brown, Beasley, Diggs, those types. I'd even say now Shakir. You know, guy, get open quick, I'll get you the ball. Moore kind of fits that type. I think they'll also be able to use him on the outside. But I think that's more what they got Josh Palmer for, is to be that second outside guy. Most of the underlying stats are like, hey, he gets open and he gets open fast. I think that's probably where he's going to go. Really where I look at with Moore, and I'm not anticipating him being second on the team in catches. I think that's a bit much even for somebody like me who's this excited. I do wonder, though, with how quickly Allen and Moore got on the same page in mandatory minicamp. You mentioned it, too. What do we look at for mandatory minicamp? We look at deployment. He was with Allen, and he was catching a lot of passes. And every reporter that was watching those were like, yeah, Moore's making plays. He's going to be a part of the offense, maybe not focal point, but a part of the offense. And I wonder.
And deployment in training camp is going to be important here, too. We're going to have to look at that. We're going to have to look at who's got the reps, who's playing with who.
Well, as much as we can.
And as much as we can, as much as the media is going to be able to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason, you're getting none of that. Everything that happens in those games does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of stay healthy.
Yep.
That's why. Ready? Zach, you've got 2 months. This is why I say settle down.
Not a shot.
You got 2 months.
I've wanted him since 21. Not a shot.
This, yeah. Can you, for 2 months, leave it at around a 7?
No.
And then
I told you the best I could do is a 9.
And then in the regular season, then you go ahead and turn the knob.
Derek,
it off even.
The moment I see a text from any of the reporters, a tweet from any of them going, big play by Elijah Moore today, that's the play of camp, I will lose my mind.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
You can sprint marathons, it's just not healthy. You can do that.
What?
It's just not healthy.
I wish we had the cameras to see my reaction to what you just said.
We're sports fans. We're not. None of this is healthy. That's fine. I just, for me, look.
As the one that peddled irresponsible hope
yeah.
for something else, I'm just trying to be like, Zach,
nope.
don't do what I did. Don't nope. be me.
Dove in head first. To a 4-foot pool. I'm ready to ride. I'm ready to ride.
Do not do that, by the way. Anybody,
again.
Ever.
Again. I will say, he could absolutely just be a guy for them. But I do look at Moore, and I will say this, if Moore does pop off, and I agree with a lot of listeners that he is that kind of quick twitch, get open fast guy that Allen likes to throw to, I do wonder if, let's say, Moore does pop off, does that mean someone like Keon Coleman? And ultimately, none of us are really going to care, ultimately, if the Bills mm-hmm. are good. They don't really, you know, don't tell us how you made the cake, just show it kind of deal, right?
Right.
Just bring it out. But I do wonder if someone like Moore pops off, knowing how Curtis Samuel last year, once he got healthy, was starting to perform. If all of a sudden someone like Keon Coleman, whose biggest issue is separation, does he get left behind a bit? Does someone like Dalton Kincaid, who Allen has a struggle getting the ball to, does he kind of get left behind? And that is something where, you know, you're going to have maybe criticisms of Bean. I know I have mine. But that might be something that comes out if all of a sudden it's like, hey, you have a specific receiver that your quarterback likes to go to. Why are we going away from that style of player in the drafts? We have the template. We know what works. And so I think if a guy like Elijah Moore does come in, and let's say, for argument's sake, he puts up a career year at 25 years old. He had over 100 targets the last few years. I don't think he'll get that high because I don't think the Bills – I don't think Allen's going to get close to like 600 passing attempts.
Right.
So let's say he puts up 90 targets and he catches like 75 passes, but he's closer to like 750 yards and like 4 touchdowns, which I think is absolutely doable.
It's in the realm of possibility
with his ability, and he's not gonna be an all pro bowler, but you know, damn good
receiver. Solid contributor.
And let's say Keon Coleman doesn't take that jump forward. What stops the Bills from just signing Elijah Moore to a bigger deal? And then Keon, you're just like, it doesn't work for us. I mean, already most people are kind of wondering what the Bills are doing with Keon. When he was drafted out of Florida State, the idea was he'll work better as a big slot. And the Bills went, no, we're going to put him as an X. He's going to be an outside. And that didn't really work. There was moments, there was flashes, and we brought him up, the Seattle game, when it kind of seemed like, oh, he's figured it out.
Yes.
But there were also games early on and even later in the year, and the Bills have kind of openly lamented them.
Coleman has open lamented
Coleman,
them.
Yeah, has absolutely lamented them. Or, and I could see this being an avenue, maybe Coleman doesn't drop off, but maybe because the Bills are expected to run the ball more and defenses are zeroing in on it more, there could be more passes available. Maybe they do go back to throwing the ball a bit more because defenses will zero in on Cook and the run game and stuff like that. And if they've got guys getting open, do they maybe see that short passing game as the extension to a run game? They've got so many quick, twitchy, get open guys that maybe that's how they're going to do this.
And Coleman ultimately serves as, and maybe even Palmer serves as the players on the outside that are going to just, they're there because we need to have perimeter players.
Mm-hmm. Coleman with his size, the strength, and I know the jump ball analytics weren't great for him in terms of catch percentage, but there were flashes. Palmer, I think, is also that kind of guy where, you know, what are we really expecting from him? He was not great in L.A. Again, good underlying numbers, if not great, especially in separation, but he was not
any receiver in a Greg Roman offense, I'm going to forgive.
Yeah, but throughout his career, he has not been awesome.
Yeah.
And that's with Herbert as his quarterback.
I'm just saying, not bad. Like anyone in a Greg Roman offense, I'll forgive them as a wide receiver. Like, that's fine. I'm not worried.
I'm so curious to see how this passing attack can go. And I thought Moore was the perfect addition late, especially when they didn't grab a receiver in the draft. Derek, I was thrilled when I saw the report that he was visiting because for the most part now you see that usually means they're going to sign him unless he fails a physical or something
correct
disastrous happens on the visit. But now I want to see what really he has to offer. And yeah, I will somewhat read into camp reports, maybe too much, but if I'm hearing that he's being deployed with Allen and he's catching a lot of passes and he's clearly a mainstay in the offense, I'm going to get excited. Now to that point, and I know there's somebody out there probably saying this, Kincaid was a big factor on the offense his rookie year and his sophomore year in camp. He was a big factor in those camps. and it didn't really lead to anything. It is absolutely true. And that's why I'm having fun, but my expectations are somewhat simmered down a little bit with him.
Right.
Because they have to be. Let's be realistic here. But I think there's also a realistic possibility that he is a damn good receiver for the Bills and one that we will all be clamoring for them to sign back come the end of the season. 803-0550, the number two call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
You lied to me.
Which time? About what?
Earlier this week.
Oh, man.
You lied to me.
I got myself, too. I didn't lie to you. I was just factually wrong.
Yes.
Which that's is tough.
Yes, which I will say is not worse because you got yourself,
too. I got myself.
What am I referring to? It is the actual release today of College Football 26.
Yeah, when I was talking about earlier this week when it came out at noon, that was early access. Today is actually the release date.
Which I did not pay for.
No, it's $99.
No,
I
don't.
I'm poor. I'm not doing that.
It's not even that. It's just I don't have time for that, man. I don't believe in an early access purchase. I don't need it. It's a bit much.
It's a bit much.
Today
is the actual release date, though.
Today is the actual release date.
At noon, by the way.
In
9 minutes.
8 minutes.
Yeah, found that out this morning.
Yeah.
When I was like, oh, I'm up early. Like, I'll load this up. I'll play, like, a game, and then I'll go to work. No, I still have to wait 4 hours. Are you kidding me?
Well, now you
come
have to
on.
Wait. Now you have to wait more hours.
Yeah, well, that's my thing, too. Is I'm like, it's a work day. Why is this releasing at noon? Just do a midnight release like a normal person.
Could
and
you
move
imagine?
On.
Could you imagine like somebody like screwed that up like as a clerical error? It's like, all right, here we go. Thursday, 12 a.m. midnight release. We're going to get ready to go. And then some dude in the office is like, wait, you said a.m.?
So frustrating.
I have it at p.m.
So frustrating.
And it's like, Steven, what are you doing?
Just
like,
so bad.
Obviously, I'm making up a name here, but like, I just would love to hear that sort of scenario playing out in my mind because I'm an imaginative person, also known as kind of an idiot.
I will say, though, because the game didn't come out when I thought it did, I ended up watching a movie on what is now back to HBO because they went through a weird marketing phase. We're back to HBO. I watched the original Superman movie, the one with Christopher Reeve and Richard Donner, I believe is the director's name. 1978. I've watched it a number of times, but I rewatched it, of course, in the anticipation of the new Superman movie that's coming out. I'm seeing it Saturday. Very excited.
Love that.
Man, I will tell you, I tweeted it out last night too. It's been said before, and I still can't find a better way to describe that movie. It is endlessly charming. It is such a charming movie. I feel the same way about The Princess Bride. I'm smiling the whole time. It's a great time. It's timeless. It's so good. Christopher Reeve, I think most people agree, is probably still the perfect Superman. And I will tell you,
written better, Cavill would have been
up there too.
Fantastic.
But if you haven't watched the movie in a long time, the interview scene on Lois Lane's rooftop, it's a perfect scene. It is a perfect scene. I love everything about the movie. It had been a few years since I had watched it, but I was like, all right, I'll watch it in anticipation of this. And I forgot just how much I loved it. I was smiling for 2.5 hours. It's so good. It's so good. And there is a part of, I've seen a lot of people say it too. When did movies stop being romantic? Like there is a love in that film that you just don't see all the time. And when you do, you know it. Like I feel the same way about Denis Villeneuve's Dune movies. There is a love for the material you can feel on screen.
It might be because my generation grew up jaded because constant world historic events keep happening.
Yeah, that'll do it to you. Lifetimes. That'll do it to you. That'll do it to you. But yeah, that movie I believe is coming out tomorrow, and then I'm going to see it on Saturday. That should be a good time. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.